Hello and welcome to the China Business Brief, a podcast by the China Britain Business Council, where we explain the latest news relevant to anyone working in or with the world's second largest economy. I'm Joe Cash, and I'm joined today by the CBBC's Chief Representative and Managing Director in China, Tom Simpson. And together we're going to break down our three top stories from the last 6 months and take a guess at where the big issues affecting business are likely to be as we look into the summer and towards the second half of the year. Tom, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Joe. Great to be here.
So we're going to try something new today. We've got four topics, three that we've identified as being our highlights over the last 6 months, and one that we're going to bravely take a punt on as is going to cause issues for businesses in China looking forward. Should we start with UK MNC activity in China? What have been the highlights for you over the last half of the year?
Great, Joe. I think when it comes to British multinationals, activity has been particularly high in the last year or so. If you look at MOFCOM FDI figures from the UK, they actually suggest that FDI from the UK into China has been higher than China's FDI into the UK, which is probably the first year in a long time that that's been the case. And these investments are going into all sorts of different things, establishing plants to produce FMCG goods, R&D centres. AstraZeneca has just established a new North China headquarters, which is this entire building just on the edge of Beijing in Yizhuang, where they're doing all sorts of things from incubating to R&D and so forth. So activity is increasing to some extent. I think that's driven by the fact that China is very much a global growth driver, but at the same time, increasingly UK multinationals are crediting a larger part of their revenue to the Chinese market. So increasingly, we're hearing from companies that China is either their largest or second largest market globally. That's a sort of increasingly common thing. In some cases, we have companies who have 60% of their business is driven out of China. That's albeit relatively rare. There are companies in that situation. So China's significance is certainly there. And UK multinationals are certainly keen to make sure that they can continue to make the most of the opportunity of the Chinese market.
And where are CBBC members seeing this opportunity? Yesterday, we wrapped up the Beijing business dialogue with the Beijing municipal government. A few months ago, CBBC was also in central China leading a delegation to meet with Vice Premier Hu Chunhua there. Earlier, we also had a business dialogue with Guangzhou. Is it the case that UK companies are finding opportunity the length and breadth of the country, or are there some pocketed areas that you think multinationals, particularly from the UK, should be focusing on?
Well, it really depends on the business. If you look at the largest multinationals in China, they're very much interested in the country as a whole. And so that's why we're working with them in Shandong or in Jiangsu or in different parts of the country. Some companies are just very much fixated on Beijing or Shanghai just because of the nature of their business. I would say, when it comes to the financial services, they're in Shanghai. They're looking very closely at the GBA. And then when it comes to the likes of HSBC and Standard Chartered, they're expanding their retail footprint, pretty much every province of China. So it really depends on the business.
Transitioning, I suppose, to our second topic, last week CBBC led a delegation to meet with China's Premier Li Keqiang, who commented that UK-China trade has grown against all odds, investment too. How have you considered UK-China relations over the last 6 months?
I mean, an important point that you're in China on the ground, business is really just getting on with things and is largely unaffected by geopolitical situation. I think, we've probably, touch wood, seen the worst of the geopolitical situation in that, last summer there were things that all came to a head at a similar time with Huawei and other things. So I think as we're heading into summer 2021, it does appear that there's increasing sort of level of constructive engagement, interaction between the UK and Chinese governments. But it's still too early, I'd say, to see exactly where that's going to lead us. But in the meantime, prospects for businesses remain very positive, and companies are keen to ensure that they don't take the foot off the gas, and they're able to continue to pursue the opportunities that they see right the way across China.
So moving our attention to data protection topic, which has certainly grabbed the attention of the British press, and this has been well documented in the headlines. Data protection has long been a bugbear for British business in China, one of the kind of top business environment asks that they've had over the last couple of years. But it seems that over the last months that Chinese companies have started to have more complaints regarding data and how it's processed and handled by regulators. Didi is the prime example. What's going on there? Perhaps you could provide a perspective from Beijing to our listeners in the UK who are reading about it, but are not really sure how that's manifesting itself in market.
I mean, I think, you know, what's happening right now is Chinese tech companies are being sort of knocked into shape. They've perhaps a bit too big for their own boots. And when they're sort of stepping out and, you know, stepping against the sort of the wishes of domestic regulators here in China, then, of course, you know, they're going to come down quite hard and quite heavy on them. Alipay last year, Ant Financial, is the first real big case where regulators came down very, very hard on them. And that was partly linked to some of the comments that Jack Ma had been making prior to the IPO. But the whole DD situation, there's been a lot of talk in the press that it's sort of tied to concerns around data privacy, data protection, but little actual evidence of that, you know, being the real reason behind what's going on there. The SEC in the US, the regulator for, you know, overseas securities, there aren't any rules that say you have to hand over sensitive data as part of an IPO. So it would suggest that perhaps this is being used as a little bit of an excuse to come down on DD. And I think there are other reasons why the authorities here are perhaps taking a very close look at DD. And, you know, one of them is that perhaps there's the whole listing in the US is no longer something that authorities here want to see. They would rather see companies listing in Shanghai or in Hong Kong. That's certainly something that might be a factor. But then also, you know, DD does have a 90% market share in China and is in many ways doesn't have many competitors here, and there's sort of anti-monopoly considerations there. So I think, you know, this is an opportunity to sort of knock them whilst they're in a vulnerable position and perhaps open the market to greater competition. And that's certainly what we're seeing with other companies like Meituan stepping in to compete with DD. But I don't think we've seen the end of this China tech story just yet. But I think there will come a point where the Chinese regulators are satisfied that, you know, they've got a grip on things and tech companies will be able to get on with what they were doing.
So that's clearly a story that still has space to run. Should we now look forward and spend a couple of minutes on the topics that we think are going to be occupying the minds of business over the next 6 months? So we've got China tech. In UK-China relations, of course, HMS Elizabeth, I believe, cleared the Suez Canal last week and is on her way to not the South China Sea, am I right?
She will be going through the South China Sea, but not through the Strait of Taiwan. So that means it will be going around the side of Taiwan, so causing a little bit less grievance than perhaps could have.
That will hopefully result in bilateral meetings between the UK and China that we've heard will hopefully resume now that the integrated review has been published. Tom, what do you think we should expect with regards to an EFD at JETCO anytime soon?
Well, I think that there's sort of positive signs coming out around the prospect of potentially an EFD, an economic financial dialogue. We all saw the comments by Rishi Sunak recently at Mansion House, which gave a bit more of a positive reading on perhaps where the Treasury stands with regards to China. So some positive signs there. I think JETCO may be something that might come later, but at least there's more sort of constructive language coming out of the UK government, and also constructive interactions directly with the Chinese government. You know, Dominic Raab had a call with Wang Yi late May, which is again a sort of sign of perhaps a sort of warming of relations. But, you know, as we just mentioned, the arrival of an aircraft carrier could cause some issues. But it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
And jumping to a wholly different policy area, but keeping on the theme of exchange, what's it looking like regarding travel resumption and Brits being able to get back into China? And indeed, if you're one of our listeners who is in China, being able to have a summer holiday this year in the UK?
Well, yeah, I mean, there was talk about flights being resumed between Shanghai and London, and I know BA and Virgin have both been looking at that. I just saw a report this morning that suggests that some of those flights, which were hadn't yet been confirmed, but were in the sort of preliminary stages of being scheduled, had actually been cancelled. So whether that's tied to the UK's intentions to remove all restrictions, COVID restrictions from the 19th of July or not, is not yet clear. I think it will be some time yet before there's any sort of serious movement on in terms of resumption of travel. Hopefully this doesn't have an impact on Chinese students going to the UK. I know that the universities are obviously very concerned about this and are working together with the likes of the British Council to find solutions for that. So charter flights and other ways to try and ensure that students can travel to the UK. We're also keeping a close eye on the visa situation. in terms of you're a UK national and you reside in China and you have a work permit in China and you want to go back to the UK to see family and you're able to get a flight, what does that mean for you and how you can kind of get back to China thereafter? So the UK is still on a list of restricted countries that China has, and which means that it does make it a little bit more difficult for people to do that. But we're actually working on, together with VFS, a sort of company that runs a lot of visa offices for different countries around the world, about to help provide some clear information for members and how the visa process now works for UK nationals to travel in and out of China or to China.
Well, Tom, it sounds like people aren't going to be able to come out to China anytime soon, unfortunately. Hopefully, over the last 10 minutes, we've managed to bring a bit of China to you with our insights from the ground in Beijing. Tom, thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Very welcome.
And thanks for listening, and catch us again in 2 weeks' time when we'll have another episode of China Business Brief. Goodbye for now. China Business Brief is a podcast brought to you by the China Britain Business Council. If you enjoyed this podcast, make sure you're subscribed. To find out more about our other events and activities, do check out our website at www.cbbc.org.